Welcome to Healing You, Healing Me with Anna Daniels Omomaro. I'm Anna, your host, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad to offer you another episode full of inspiration, motivation, and encouragement. So join me as we delve into our topic for today's episode. Good day. This is Anna Daniels Omomaro, and I'm so glad you're here. The last time we talked, I asked you to reflect on the deeper meaning behind the very simple question, how are you? In this week's episode, we're going to talk about just that. How are you? Hi, friend. Welcome to this episode of Healing You, Healing Me. You know, the last time we talked, I asked you, how are you? And it's such a simple question, how are you? But there is such a deeper meaning behind those three words. I shared a quote with you, and I'll say it again so that you can remember, reflect, or refresh your memory. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. When I read that quote, I was really impacted and just made immobile for a moment as I really took apart the words to understand in totality what they really mean. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. And so if I am sad or depressed, although the sun is shining outside and it appears to be a bright day, I can't see the beauty in the day because I'm sad and depressed. On my journey to 50, and we are today at day 46, on my journey to 50, I realized that I've learned a lot, but I also realized that I have to clean out, just like we do spring cleaning in our closets. I've realized that I have to do some spring cleaning of my mind so that as I transition to 50 and move on to the next decade of living, that I have gotten out the old clutter, all of the things that no longer serve me, and that I have made room to receive and grab hold to everything that I am expecting in my life for this next decade and for the next 50 years of my life. And with that being said, when I came across that quote, I was really fascinated by those words because I realized that everything is about perspective and how you really are. Are you taking care of your mind? Are you as dedicated to taking care of your physical health as well as your spiritual health, as well as your mental health, as well as your emotional health? Do you give consistent time, energy, and attention to all of those things in order to make sure that you are a well-rounded person and completely whole in every area of your life? This week, I've had the opportunity to reflect a lot on the word choices. And I realized that every single thing in life is a choice. I know that's simple. I know it sounds too simple to be anything of a phenomenon, you know, in terms of the way that it impacts you or the way that you think about it. But choices, if you just sit and think with that, sit with that word and think about it for a moment, everything is a choice. You have the choice to forgive. You have the choice to make a decision. You have the choice of deciding whether or not to set a boundary. You can choose whether or not you want to pursue your goals, whether it be weight loss, whether it be finishing college, whether it be pursuing a doctorate degree, whether it be buying a new car, or whether you're going to eat McDonald's for dinner or go home and make a salad. Everything is a choice. I think for me, the biggest impact of this word happened to me during this week. I want to tell you about it. I think for me, the biggest impact and understanding the impact, I think for me this week, I was forced to come face to face with what it really means to have a choice. Amelia is my assistant. Amelia and I have worked together for about 6 months, and I was so excited when she came to be my teacher's assistant. She appeared to be kind. She appeared to have a deep love and respect for children, and she seemed like a hard worker, a person that was willing to go the extra mile to get the job done. In retrospect, I realized that I probably, if I were telling the truth, I realized that I probably assigned her characteristics a little more gold in color, if you will, than they really were. I attributed more to her, I think, than I allowed her to prove to me in an effort to make her feel welcome and make her feel comfortable. She was coming into a new classroom. She was coming to a new school. And most important of all, she was coming into a relationship with me, my co-teacher, and our students. Our students and I had some time to develop a relationship together and learn each other rather well. But the bigger relationship that she was going to be impacted by was the relationship between me and my co-teacher. We had been together for 3 years in the classroom and knew every nuance, every look, every sigh, every bit of body language that we could display. We were familiar with each other and didn't require a lot of words to convey a meaning about something that we thought, something that bothered us, or something that happened. And so I understood the gravity of what the new teacher's assistant was walking into. She was walking into a place that had already been established. And unless we made a choice to allow her entry into that relationship, her job was going to be tough and her tenure in my classroom was going to be difficult because there was never going to be an opportunity for her to instill herself in a place of belonging if we, my co-teacher and I, did not afford her that opportunity. We had a wonderful relationship. As she came into the classroom, we taught her about the children. We taught her about the structure of our classroom. We taught her a little bit about the culture of the school. But most of all, we tried to be examples of being warm and welcoming. And so for the first 3 months, our relationship worked really, really well. Most of you know that I live in China. I've lived here for 5 years. And so sometimes there are cultural differences that come to play in the execution of something that I do in the classroom. And as a result, there may be a time or two where I have to give an explanation to my Chinese counterparts so that they understand my thought process behind decisions that I make regarding our children. Well, one day this situation happened with me and Amelia. The children had eaten lunch, and as is our custom after every meal, we usually take the children outside for recess time and a time to exercise before they take a nap, so that they have moved their food further down their digestive tract and they will not be uncomfortable when they sleep. And so, because my kids had a lot of energy that day, we decided that we would go running. And I don't mean the hard running that a relay race would call you to do. I don't mean the hard running that you would have to do if you were competing in a race or a marathon. I'm talking a simple jog around a child-sized track to allow children to feel the wind move through their hair or feel like they were free as they ran outstretched around the track. As they ran with their arms outstretched around the track, feeling the breeze go through their fingers, through their hair, and feeling light on their feet. No care in the world, just feeling a sense of freedom, as much freedom as their legs could give them. And so we began to run. And I noticed that Amelia was not participating. And I noticed that she had this very stern look on her face. And at first I thought, oh, maybe she's upset because the sun is pretty bright outside. She's forgotten her hat. And if she's not careful, she's going to tan. And so, you know, I'm thinking, sorry, but not really sorry, because my kids are out here. We're having fun. And I am watching their faces as they encourage each other to run faster, to go further, to take the extra leap and jump and then run so that they can feel the wind at their back. And so finally, Amelia worked up enough courage to tap me on my shoulder and she said, Anna, this is not a good idea. The kids should not be running. And so I looked at her because I was a little confused. Kids run all the time. Why shouldn't these kids be running? What's the problem? So I said, Amelia, what's wrong? And her words to me were, our leaders, exactly, I'm quoting to you, by the way, our leaders are going to be unhappy because we're making the children move too much. If you know anything about me, you know that when I hear words that make no sense, my first response sometimes, not in a good way, is to chuckle at what I hear. And really, while I'm chuckling so that I don't reflect to you verbally how stupid I think what you're saying really is. And I don't mean that in a mean or derogatory or disrespectful way, but sometimes people just don't make good sense. And so what I discovered in this verbal exchange with her was that she really had a belief that she was causing displeasure to the school leaders by having the children run for some exercise after lunch. And so I said, Amelia, I've been here 3 years. We do this all the time, not every day, but often enough that I know there's not going to be a problem. I'm not going to purposefully put us in a situation where there is a problem. So calm down. Everything is okay. Come on, let's go run with the kids. And she hesitated and she didn't move and she just kind of looked at me. And so I realized in that moment that we had a bigger problem than I realized. And so as the kids continued to run, I knew that I had to make a choice in that moment. Was I going to continue to do what I wanted to do, even though I could see that she was deeply bothered by what I was saying? Or was I going to give in, allow her to bring my plans to a screeching halt, and then be angry for the rest of the day because I made a choice to put her feelings before my own and what I wanted to do? Well, I went with the latter because I, again, did not want her to feel uncomfortable. I recognized that she was already walking into a difficult situation, and I didn't want to be the person to add to that. But I also realized that I walked away a little disappointed in myself because I felt like I gave in to what she wanted, even though it really didn't make sense to me. So we got back to the classroom. The kids went down for a nap, and I was rather quiet for the rest of the afternoon. I really didn't know what to say, and to be quite honest, I just didn't want to say anything at all because I was a little irritated and had not processed and worked through my own feelings of why I felt the way that I was feeling and how could I get over being irritated with her because I made a choice to bring my plans to a close. In my thinking about how I was going to handle that situation, I knew that I had to take into consideration the fact that we are from two different cultures and that the way we respond to kids is based on our experiences, our reflections, our thought process, and our environment. And I realized that Chinese environment and American environment are two totally different things. Our concepts and our thoughts, some are the same, but some are vastly different based on where we live, where we've come from, and how we internalize and process those experiences. I also realized that one of the biggest things that both cultures have in common is the fact that they don't like to be embarrassed and they will go the extra mile to save face. And I realized that maybe Emma, I realized that maybe Amelia really didn't know that making a singular decision about the children in your class was accepted at our school. And additionally, maybe she didn't know that the leaders had that much trust in our ability to do what was best for our kids based on our own situation in our classroom. When I thought about the fact that she really didn't want to ask the deeper question that would give indication to the fact that maybe she had some ignorance about what we were doing, I begin to soften a little bit. I begin not to be as irritated and as angry. And it took me a few days to get to the place where I actually wanted to have a conversation with her about it. And when I did, I realized that I had to make a choice to accept what she was saying, even though I knew she wasn't telling the truth. And let me tell you what I mean. When we sat down to talk, I explained to her again the culture of our school, the level of respect that leadership had for the teachers in my classroom, and the fact that we were given autonomy to make decisions about what was going on with our children based on what was happening in the moment. And I reminded Amelia that we did not teach from a place of habit or what all Chinese people are doing in schools. We teach and execute plans from a place of reflection based upon each individual child in our classroom. Well, needless to say, she didn't understand that. And again, because she didn't want to take the time to ask any questions, there grew a very tangible divide between us. That moment was the beginning of her questioning every single thing I did with the kids. If I put a timer up and told the kids they had 5 minutes to get water and go to the bathroom, and if at the end of the timer they were not in their seats, they would lose a point, I found that she became angry. And she became angry essentially about everything that I did because my way of doing things was different than the culture she had been in prior to coming to my school and the way that she had learned to execute things as a Chinese teacher's assistant. And so over the next few weeks, our relationship took a very serious hit and began to break down in ways that I came to believe would be irreparable. I didn't think that I would be able to reestablish the bond that I was trying to create with her. And I realized that if something didn't happen, our relationship was not going to go well, and it was really going to impact everything that we did from this point on. I really wanted to have a strong team in my classroom. I really wanted to be considerate of everybody's feelings, everybody's experiences, but most of all, I wanted to be the bearer of the gift of compassion, understanding somebody else's plight, even though it's not my own. And I wanted to be the person that could gift with ease the ability to compromise. But the longer we went without addressing the problem at its root, the more distant we became, the greater our divide came, until one day I was faced with the choice of having to decide whether or not I would allow Amelia to remain the teacher's assistant in my classroom. My co-teacher would be leaving to have a baby rather soon, and I had one of two options. I could either allow Amelia to step in her place and be the interim teacher, even though she was a teacher's assistant, or I could interview and hire a new teacher for the position that would be open in just a few weeks. Well, when I saw that Amelia was not able to effectively communicate with me and that her way of handling things that she didn't understand was now to become contrary, to speak negative things about me and the staff in my classroom behind our backs, and to literally, I mean literally, ignore every request that I made in terms of her executing what her role and responsibilities were in my classroom. And so I called a meeting and we sat down and I talked about the importance of communication. And long story short, there were just so many excuses extended about why she wasn't able to communicate that I became frustrated and irritable, and eventually I became very angry. All I could think about was the fact that I had made this huge effort to really chisel, and I mean chisel out a place for her to belong, a place for her to feel comfortable. And I had really chiseled a place for her to execute things that were important to her without having to gain permission from me or the co-teacher before she did anything. And so over time, and as time went on, our relationship continued to deteriorate until finally we had no relationship. And I remember one day she said to me, "You know, Anna, I still love you." And my response to her was, "Love is an action word. Don't you ever use the word love in the same sentence with me and you again, because your actions have proven that to be false." And so a few months went by and things were just really tight in my classroom. Not only that, but the time was drawing closer for my co-teacher to leave to have her baby. And so I found myself so discouraged because I felt like I was getting the raw end of the deal. I was being left with the person that I had no relationship with and no desire to be in partnership with. And furthermore, because I had allowed so much time to pass thinking that things would be prepared, I really didn't even have time to interview a new teacher before the current teacher would take maternity leave. I was stuck. And if you know anything about me, you know that I react like a caged animal when I feel like or realize that I am not able to move. I'm stuck. I was stuck. And more than being stuck, I was now deeply resentful and had no desire to chisel out any more places to give Amelia to belong. As a matter of fact, I wanted nothing to do with her. How was I going to deal with Amelia? How was I going to deal with myself? How was I going to convince myself that the right choice in this situation was to process my feelings and find a path, even if I had to create one, back to Amelia in order to reestablish and reaffirm that I had really chiseled out a place that remained open for her to fit into and belong? How in the world was I going to accomplish all of that in the midst of really being angry? Stay tuned for a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Choices. Everybody has them. They're all around us. We have to make them. And most of us have been familiar with them all of our lives. In this season of my life, I am learning what making a choice really means. Earlier, I told you about Amelia, and I told you that I had to decide what I was going to do, even in the midst of my anger, to make things work. I realized more than anything, more than dealing with my anger, more than being sorry about the place that we were in, more than feeling sorry for myself, I came to the realization that I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice about how I would move forward with this assistant. And the choice that I had to make was not just about moving forward. It was about making a choice to be okay no matter what. It was about making a choice to forget the past. It was about making a choice not to remember the past when she made me angry in the future, if that were the case. It was about making a choice to let the past remain dormant, to embrace the future, and no matter what happened, not to hold Amelia hostage to the past. Huge choice, but it was one that I had to make in order for me to survive, in order for me to find the path forward, and in order for our team to continue to be successful. So I put my big girl panties on and I made a choice. I made a choice to forgive Amelia. I made a choice to forgive myself. I made a choice to apologize to Amelia and to ask her to forgive me for hurting her feelings. I didn't tell her if I hurt your feelings because I was certain that I had. I asked Amelia to forgive me because I hurt her feelings. And I also decided that I wanted to move forward with Amelia no matter what happened in the past. I decided and I made a conscious choice not to be held hostage to the past and certainly not hold her hostage. I remember when I hugged her. It was as if a weight had been lifted off of her shoulders. The moment I extended my hand to her
and asked her to forgive me for hurting her feelings and to let's forget about the past, but start again, fresh and new, like nothing had ever happened. She sighed so deeply, I could feel the sigh from the bottom of her soul. And from that day forward until now, Amelia and I exist as though nothing bad has ever happened. Is it a hard choice? It absolutely is, because my feelings were very hurt by some of the things that she had done. I'd gone out of my way to try and make her feel comfortable and to feel a part of a team that I knew would be difficult to place herself in because of the years and the connection. But I had no choice. Actually, I did have a choice. The only choice was to move forward and make a choice every day to start the day anew. Am I glad that I made that choice? Actually, I am. Before I made the choice, I thought about how upset I was going to be and how I was letting her get away with murder because I was going to forgive her. But I'm realizing really what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is not for the person who wronged you, but forgiveness is really for you. And for me, the gift of forgiveness to Amelia really was the bigger gift for me, because it meant that every day I could choose to not hold on to the sadness and the pain and the anger and the anxiety that I was caused based on all the things that were happening around me. And so I find that I am just extremely thankful. I don't attribute anything that I was able to do to myself, because in my own right and in my own power, I was nothing but a person who really wanted to hold Amelia's feet to the fire for all the stuff, the stuff that she had done. I was fortunate that God was right by my side. And no, this is not a podcast about preaching God's grace and mercy, but I certainly would be remiss in sharing this story with you if I did not take an opportunity to share the power that was given to me through my constant relationship with God, through talking to Him, through meditating, through asking Him to change me and to give me the power to change me and accept what needed to be changed and be okay with it. So Amelia and I are working well together. Our children are happy. Our team is okay. And we are moving forward. I always knew what the word choice meant. I always knew what it meant to be able to make a choice, and I even understood the power of having a choice. But it wasn't until very recently that I am learning the power of my choice. I know that sounds a little crazy, given that this is my journey to 50 and I am a little more than 40 days away from turning the big 5-0. But really, I, in this season of my life, find that I am learning about choice and what it really means. Having and making a choice is so much deeper than choosing to eat McDonald's instead of drinking green juice. But making a choice means that no matter what, you are going to hold fast to what you said you choose. And so even if somebody makes you feel bad, even if somebody angers you beyond what you think you can bear, you get to decide what to do next. It's all about you. So friend, make the best choice. Make the powerful choice. Make the choice that moves you forward. It's been great spending this time with you. I look forward to doing it again in just a few days. I would love for you to continue to join me on this journey to 50. I have all sorts of things that I'm learning, that I'm discovering, and that I am deciding to do for myself. See you next time. Bye-bye.